Good morning, church. I'm thankful you're here this morning. With a heavy heart, I bring today's message to you. We have people in our church, family, who are hurting deeply. And so if you would pray for me as I share God's word and heart to you, that God would give me strength to deliver the truth and the grace that is found in His Scripture. This morning we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The events in 1 Samuel happened some 3,000 years ago. It was a time when God's people were in a very low point spiritually. There was corruption. There was immorality, there was spiritual decay, there was idolatry, rampant worship of false gods, there was dishonesty. They were in many ways living in dark times. Matter of fact, at the end of Judges, right before 1 Samuel, the scripture says, in those days there was no king in Israel, everyone did whatever he wanted. But in the midst of that dark day, there was a humble servant, a woman by the name of Hannah, who loved the Lord, and yet she herself was living in a dark day. Now you may be asking yourself, what can I possibly learn from events that happened some 3,000 years ago? I mean, a lot has changed since then. Technology has changed. We have Pokemon Go now. We can search for things that really don't exist. World powers have changed. The way that we view economics has changed. The way that we do our shopping and our traveling has changed. But two things have not changed. People have not changed. When you read the historical accounts found in Scripture, specifically what we're going to look at in 1 Samuel, we find the same problems, we find the same struggles, the same pains, the same challenges, the same emotions that people faced thousands of years ago are the same things that we face today. They experienced problems in their relationships, problems in their finances, problems in their medical condition, problems in their land and their country. They themselves were in desperate dark days, and you and I in many ways are in those same days. People are still people, and God is still God. The same God that was at work in and faithful to the people 3,000 years ago is the same God who works in and is faithful to the people today. So this morning, as we look into 1 Samuel chapter 1, as we look at growing deeper faith during dark days, we're going to ask and answer two very important questions. And the first one is this: why does God allow dark days in my life? It's okay if it's happening across the world. It's okay if it's happening in Florida or France or Turkey. But why my life? Why wreck my plans? Why wreck my emotions? My family. My security. My comforts. Why does God allow dark days in my life? This is a very personal question. Anybody here ever walked through some dark days? Maybe you're smack in the middle of one right now. Maybe it's in your health, or maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in a family relationship. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. Maybe your dark day is due to a job situation, a financial situation. Maybe this morning it took everything you had to roll out of bed to come worship God.
But yet, the darkness, the desperation is still there because you're broken. You yourself are grieving because of something you are going through, or you yourself are grieving because of somebody else's situation. Some of you walked in here today just like the person we're getting ready to read about, Hannah. She was broken. She was living in a dark moment in her life. And she walked into the house of the Lord, desperately seeking Him, desperately seeking His love and His peace and His provision in her life, knowing that if He didn't do something, she needed Him to move in her life, in her situation. Maybe that's you this morning, and I want to encourage you with this statement, this truth. God allows dark days so that my faith in Him might grow deeper. I didn't say God causes all things, because the darkness you're walking through right now might be caused by your own sin or the cause of somebody else's sin, but I will say this. God is sovereign over those situations. And God allows those situations in your life so that you might grow deeper in your faith. Meaning you have an active part in that dark day. But God is sovereign in those situations. You see, dark days have the potential to move you to a place of great dependence on the power and the might and the presence and the very love of our Heavenly Father. So much so in ways that you would not experience the deepness of your faith if everything was just hunky-dory day after day. No hiccups, no potholes, no times of difficult situations. So if you find yourself in a dark moment today or tomorrow or the next week, by the very grace of God and the very presence of God, rest in Him. Put your whole life, your thoughts, your mind, your heart in Him. You ready to read a little bit? We're going to look at the whole chapter. There's a lot of names in the first verse. We'll skip over those because I'll say them one way right now, and then at the 11 o'clock I'll say them a different way, so there's no need to humor you. But you got to understand, the Old Testament in many ways, in many places, was written in a narrative form, a story form, to tell truths of story of what's happening. So to grasp what is happening here, let's start in verse 2. For giggles, you can look at verse 1 on your own and practice those names. But it tells us that there was a man, and he had two wives, which is not something God wants for us, because God designed marriage for one woman and one man for life. But this man had two wives. The name of one of them was Hannah. Her name literally means beauty or grace. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year after year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. That the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, talking about the other wife, used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. But Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Probably not the best thing to say. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman, probably not a very good representation of the Lord. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. For all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." That means anger, emotions. Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew her. That means they had relations with one another. And the Lord remembered her. What an awesome phrase. The Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." And while Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow, Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said, "Do what seems best for you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent," meaning I have dedicated him to the Lord. "As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. In this passage, we see a woman by the name of Hannah, broken, living in incredible dark days. Just in this chapter alone, you are encountered with her emotions. Phrases like "she wept," meaning she wept bitterly. She was sobbing. It also says that she was greatly distressed. That means that her soul was bitter. There was deep hurting inside. She was disappointed. She was dissatisfied. She was discontent with her life. She was deeply unhappy. Not only that, she had a rival, somebody there egging it on, pushing the finger in the wound. Says she was afflicted. She was basically in misery, extreme discomfort physically, mentally, and emotionally. And then the scripture says she was oppressed in spirit, spiritually. She was struggling. Hannah was living in some dark days. Are you in a dark day this morning? When we are in the middle of a dark day, you know we only have two options. We can either run to God or we can run away from God. Which way are you running this morning? Are you running to the arms of your Father? Or are you running to the things of this world? Only one thing will drive you to the Father's arms. That is your faith. Your faith in him, even when you cannot see the hand of God, you know his heart, and by faith, you run to him. What does faith tell us during the times of darkness in our life? Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." That phrase, "a very present help in trouble," literally means abundantly available for help in tight places. That's what faith tells us. That I am in a tight place. But God, you are abundant. You are there to be my refuge, my protection, a place of safety, a place of security, a place that guards me. But it's also a place of strength. It's a place of power. When the days are dark, do not listen to the voice of your flesh that says God doesn't care, that God isn't strong enough, that God isn't powerful enough. run to God by faith, and you will experience the refuge and the strength that is found only in Him. What happens when you run to God in faith? That leads us to the second question today, and that is this. What does my faith in God during dark days allow me to do? And there's four aspects, four truths that I want us to see here. What does running to God by faith during dark days allow me to do? First thing, it allows me to believe that God is in control. It allows me to believe that God is in control. Twice in our passage, there is a statement that is somewhat difficult to grasp, somewhat hard for us to understand. And that statement is this: the Lord had closed her womb. Verses 5 and 6, it's mentioned twice. The Lord had closed her womb. There is no explanation. There is no cause and effect. There's nothing like that that is given to us. Just a simple statement: the Lord had closed her womb. It tells us that God is sovereign. God controls these things. But the sorrow here is from who? The Lord. The Lord closed her womb. But by faith, when you believe that God controls all things, you know that God is all sovereign. God has all ability and all strength. You begin to want what He wants and see what He sees. It's a statement that reminds us that God is in control of everything in our life, both the good and the bad. Oh, praise God when things are going good. But how dare you, God, when things are going bad? Faith does not do that. You may be tempted to do that, but faith doesn't leave you there. You see, He's just as in control of your life on the mountaintops as He is in the valleys. And Hannah, by faith, embraced this reality. She embraced this truth. I'm not saying she liked it. I'm not saying that she understood what was happening. She wasn't thrilled with God's plan in her life. We see incredible, raw emotions expressed by a broken servant of God. But she believed that He was in control. In the midst of all this, what she knew in those dark days was part of His plan. How do we know that that's the case in Hannah's life? Two things happen here. One, she knew that He is God. She knew that He was God. That's what she knew. This is evident in how she called the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1:11, she says, "O Lord of hosts." This is the first time in the Bible that somebody uses this phrase to express who God is. Now, it's found one other time in verse 3 in this same chapter. But Hannah is the first one that utters this phrase out of her lips, telling us who the Lord is. The Lord of hosts. In the midst of her darkness, Hannah cries out, "O Lord of hosts." The word "host" in the Hebrew refers to the host of heavens, the things like the sun and the stars and the moon and the planets and the galaxies. And in many ways, in Hannah's day, and there were multiple religions that were birthed out of worshiping the host of heaven, meaning they worshiped the gods of the moon, the gods of the stars, the sun, the planets, and the all those, idolatry, all those false gods. And Hannah says, "I don't worship those false gods. I don't worship the god of the moon or the god of the sun or the god of the planets or the god of the galaxies. I worship the God who created the sun. I worship the God who created the stars and the planets and the galaxies. I come to the Lord of hosts." It's an acknowledgement of Hannah, of the sovereignty and the very power of God, not only in creation, but in her very life. She knew that He was God, but she also knew this. She knew that she was not God. She was not God. Not only do we see this in what she called God, but we also see this in what she called herself. She calls herself a servant. Four times in this passage, she says, "I am your servant. You are God, but I am your servant." It expresses humility. It expresses submission. You are God and I am not, and I submit to you. You see, faith sees my problems as a part of God's plan. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't look at what is seen. It looks at the things that are unseen. And what it sees is a God who is almighty, a God who is all sovereign, a God who is in control of all things. And faith puts you in a position to trust in God, regardless of the situation. The Lord had closed her womb. God, you are in control. I am but your servant. I know this is part of your plan for my life. I may not like it. I may not approve of it. I may not understand it. But by faith, I grab hold of the very promises of God, knowing that you are in control. You see, the very promise that Hannah spoke in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1,000 years later, the Apostle Paul would write about that in Romans chapter 8, and this is what he says, "And we know, we have confidence that for those who love God, all the things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purposes, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Think about it for a minute. In dark days, in Jesus' dark days, when man sought out to do harm to our Heavenly Father, the Son, God used that tragic event to usher in the greatest event in human history. The bridge between God and man, sinful man and perfect God, was formed in the person of Jesus because of his death on a cross, and his resurrection from the grave. You see, God doesn't cause all things, but he does cause all things to work together for the good. He is masterful at that. He is in control. Have you, in the midst of dark days, embraced that incredible truth? God, I am walking in dark days today. But by faith, I grab onto the truth that you are in control, and as your humble servant, I will follow you wherever you take me. What does faith in God during dark days allow me to do? Number two, it allows me to pour out my heart to God in prayer. It allows me to pour out my heart to God in prayer. This is important for us to understand because I believe many of us, even Christians today, function in a way that's called fatalism. Fatalism simply means that because God is sovereign, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. I'm just, it's just the way it is. It's fatalism. Why? Because you're not actively pursuing him in faith. You're just sitting down and saying, "Oh, it's all done." You know what happens when you live life in fatalism? When you just say, "Oh, can't do nothing about it. There's nothing for me to do." You know what happens? Resentment happens. Bitterness happens. You begin to resent God because if this is part of God's plan for me, especially when things are dark and long-term dark, I want nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with him. Faith doesn't do that. Faith calls out and says, "In your dark days, come to me. Live in me. Rely on me." Ultimately, for Hannah, her dark days led her to God in desperate prayer. That's the great mystery. God's sovereignty and desperate prayer go hand in hand in the life of faith. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God is in control and all-powerful, but yet, by faith, desperate prayer by a believer in Jesus Christ, they go hand in hand. You begin to see things you've never seen before. You see, everything in my life is filtered by the sovereignty of God, filtered through him, and it's through prayer that I get to experience him in ways I would never otherwise be able to do. You see this in Hannah's life. Look at verse 15. The scripture says, "But Hannah answered, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord.'" It is a cup filled to the brim, just dumped over. When our kids do that at a restaurant, we get mad. But when we do that before God, it brings Him great pleasure. One pastor, Kent Hughes, says this: "Prayer was not for Hannah a formality. It was real. She cast her cares on the Lord, knowing that He cared for her. He loved her." Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." We see this same principle in the New Testament. 1 Peter 5 tells us this: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." In dark days, what does faith do? Faith invites me to be honest with God in prayer. To be honest with God in prayer. Are you being honest with God today in your prayer life? Pouring everything out to Him? You know, it reminds me when my brother and I were little kids. My brother's 13 months older than me. We used to play, you know, G.I. Joe's, Legos, all those things. Yes, those things were around back in the 80s. And we would play, and you know, my mom or dad would be like, "All right, it's time to get ready for bed," you know, whatever it was. So we'd keep stretching the limit a little bit. You know, those things never happen today. And you get to the point where you hear Kevin Matthew Giordano. You knew, especially from dad, you knew it's time to get moving. So in great haste, what would we do? We'd grab all those toys and we would throw them in the toy box, right? Didn't organize them. My wife would not approve of that. And we would just dump them in the toy box. So tomorrow we'd wake up and what would we want to do? We want to play G.I. Joes. We want to play Legos. We want to do all those things. But yet, everything's crammed in the toy box. So what would we do? We really had one option. You just grab one side each and you just do what? You dump it out. And you know what happens when you dump out toys like that? It's messy. You see things that you see things that you didn't even know you had anymore. Matter of fact, there was a few times there was a chicken nugget in there probably from months ago. And if you were real hungry and desperate, you might have took a bite. Who knows? I don't know. You know, that's the same thing in our prayer life when we pour out our hearts to God. It's messy, isn't it? It's incredibly messy. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. And it reveals things about you, and it also reveals things about your Heavenly Father. Some of you, when we're done at the end of this service, when we have our time of invitation, time of response, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to begin to pour out your heart to God. Let it be messy. Because He wants to reveal to you who He is. He loves you. He desperately loves you. What begins to happen when you begin to pour everything out to Him? The same thing that happens to Hannah. Look at what happens in verse 18. She said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She found peace. She found incredible peace. And get this, her situation didn't change. Her circumstances were still the same. But what happened? She had a change of perspective, a change of posture in her life. Her focus began to change. And the expression of it was, she began to eat. And she had peace in her life, joy in her life. We see this also in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. The scripture says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," you cannot explain it. Listen, this is what it'll do. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, when you don't pour out your heart to God in prayer, desperate prayer, you know what happens? Your mind and your heart begin to wander away from God and the very things of God. But when you pour out your soul to Him, He is faithful to guard it, even when the circumstances
have not changed. Listen, if you're walking in dark days today, don't rob yourself of this birthright that we have in Jesus Christ, knowing that He will guard our hearts and He will guard our minds. What does my faith in God during dark days allow me to do? Number three, it allows me to trust in God's provision. It allows me to trust in God's provision. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, the scripture says, "And she said, 'Let your servant find favor in your eyes.'" That word favor means unmerited grace, meaning she knew that she didn't deserve it. There was nothing she could do to earn it. But because of God's faithfulness to her and her life, she could trust that His grace would provide her what was needed to get through it. You see, faith encourages me to believe that God will provide everything I need to get through whatever that situation is. That's what faith does. Faith encourages me to believe that God will equip me, give me everything I need to get through whatever I'm going through. You can trust Him with everything in your life. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how secretive it is. You can trust Him. I don't know what you're carrying this morning, but you can trust Him. How do we know this is true? How many of you believe God is all-loving? How many believe that God is a wise God? How many of you believe that God is a powerful God? All these, by faith, we know that they are true. But the Bible goes even further. The Bible says that God is love, that in Him all wisdom is found, and He is all powerful. And since God is love, He desires only the best for me. Since God has all wisdom, He knows what is best for me. And since God is all powerful, He can bring about what is best for me. Since all of this is true, faith encourages me to believe that God will provide everything I need to get through this particular situation. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how it got here. It doesn't matter how long it's going to stay. Why? Because God is great in His provision. What does my faith in God during dark days allow me to do? Last one, number four. It allows me to praise God for who He is and what He has done. This is awesome. It allows me to praise God for who He is and what He has done. Listen to what Hannah says in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's a great prayer. First two verses, scripture says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts the Lord, my horn,'" meaning my strength, "'is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God.'" And I know what you're thinking, because you read the first chapter with me. And you're thinking, well, sure, she praised God. God gave her what she wanted. God gave her a son. She gave birth to a little boy named Samuel. But do you remember what she did with that son? She dedicated him to the Lord. She left him at the temple. She did what she vowed to do. God provided her a son, and she placed her son at the service of her Lord and King. You see, she did not want a son that she would have to give, but she was so submitted to the sovereignty of God, she said, "God, if you do give me a son, I'm going to surrender him to you. I am going to dedicate him to you." So one thing I can promise you, I'm not a female, but I am married to a beautiful woman that has birthed four children. And if she was in that situation, and in some ways we have been in that situation, I promise you, when Hannah left, when that mama left the temple that day, and her little boy was left behind, there was weeping in her heart, but there was rejoicing in her soul. Why? Because faith positions me in a place of incredible worship. I'll never forget, several years ago, a dear brother in Christ was going through some tremendous time. His wife abandoned him in his marriage, sought another man, and this man was broken. At the time, I was in seminary, and I just picked up a book called Knowing God by J.I. Packard, and so we began to read that book together along with the Bible, and mostly on Wednesday nights after church, he would come to my house, and we would go over what we studied, we would go over Scripture, and we would pray for several months, and there would be times where he wouldn't leave until after midnight, and I'll never forget this broken, humble servant of God, on his face, literally, before the Lord, praying prayers that I had never experienced before. Prayers that when we were finished, he literally had a puddle of tears on my wood floor. It was the greatest time of worship. God was there. He poured out his heart. He wanted restoration. He was going to do anything to win her back. And she chose to go an opposite direction. She made a choice that was contrary to the word of God. But this man was humble before the Lord and said, "Lord, I trust you. I know that you're in control. I am your humble servant." And he prayed to God. And he sought after God. And you know what was good in his life after that? You see, sometimes when we think God is good is when he restores the things, the physical things. But you know what was the best thing that happened to him during times of great darkness? He experienced the Lord of his life in ways that he had never experienced him before. His worship of God was incredible. And that moment, that destructive moment that happened in the past, gave birth to incredible worship that even continues today. And God has blessed him greatly. You see, for Hannah, she did not understand all that God was doing. She didn't even know the rest of the story. She didn't know that through Hannah we would get a son named Samuel, and through Samuel he would anoint King David, and through David we would have the line and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She didn't know that this one named Jesus would come through her, and that one day would turn this whole world upside down. She didn't know those things. But she knew by faith that God was in control. She poured out her heart in desperate prayer before the Lord. She trusted that God would provide for her even when she had to sacrifice the greatest gift back to him. And she began to worship God and praise God for who he was and what he was doing. Church, in dark times, that's what faith allows us to do. Are you allowing the dark days of your life to deepen your faith in God? It is a very personable question. And so at this time, as we have our time of invitation, our time of response, as Pastor Sean and the praise team comes up, that is the question that is proposed to you right now, where you're sitting, where you're at. Are you allowing the dark days of your life to deepen your faith in God? Where do you find yourself as a child of God? Do you truly believe that God is in control of your life? That everything is being filtered through him? That he causes everything in your life to be the good in you, the greatest good in you. You may not like it, you may not understand it, but do you know his heart for you? Are you willing to pour out yourself before him, to dump all the messy stuff, all the things that are in you that are hurting and bitter and angry, and just reveal it all to him? He already knows. Are you willing to trust in his provision in your life, even when you have to sacrifice the thing that means the most to you? Because when you do, and as you do, you will worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So
So for you as a Christian, as we stand and sing to our Lord Jesus Christ, the altar will be open. You can pray here. You can pray at your seat. You can grab a hold of somebody. If somebody else is going through a situation that you know of, you can pray for them on their behalf. Intercessory prayer is an amazing thing that we have as a body of Christ. Worship God today. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, let me tell you, this God loves you. He has gone to incredible lengths to intervene in your life. And possibly the darkest day that you're walking through right now is the intervention that He has provided for you so that you will come to faith in Him. Listen, come to Jesus. He will restore you. He will renew you. He will redeem you. He will give you life. He will give you purpose. He will give you meaning. And He will give you eternal security in heaven. You may not know what all that means. That's okay. All you need to do is come forward and say, I need Jesus in my life. We'll pray together. I'll have someone counsel with you, and we will start a partnership on your journey of faith in Him. So please, as you stand and sing, worship Him through the power of the Spirit. Let's stand and sing.